Well, good day, everyone. This is Brother Frank Malone coming to you on Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. This is the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour. Today we continue a series that we're calling Fatherhood, the Undeniable Gift. As I continue to interview fathers and men who are making the difference in our communities, in our families, in our schools. Before I get to my special guest, Mr. Chris Thomas, we call him Chris Top Soldier Thomas, the Community Engagement Director for the 100 Fathers Incorporated, I want to back up some and give some credibility and background to what this movement is all about that we are part of. There was a man that I met not too long ago who has been a part of bringing information to make changes in young people. His name was Warren Hemhill. Warren had gotten his life together. He had a similar life to mine where God called him out of the chaos and equipped him with the knowledge and the will and the determination to make a change for his people. Well, he's got a philosophy out here called the most powerful. I want to share that. He says that the most powerful words that a man and a young man can have emanates first from your thought. Thought is the most powerful tool because your thoughts are procreative. And as a man progressively thinks, so will he become. What you thinking, brother? The next one is education. Education is the most absolute weapon of daily warfare. Progressive knowledge, understanding, unlocks all mental strongholds and threatening of our freedom to rise. Says in the books that I read, the holy books, it says, study to show thyself approved. If you don't have anything, you can't give anything. If you don't know anything, you can't teach anything. The third one, and probably the most powerful of these five things I'm sharing with you, is patience. Patience is the most dependable ally assisting your expression, your tolerance, and your endurance to progressively change. Because you must be patient. In the holy book, it says, peace, be still. It says, let your peace, brother, be still. And then faith. It says, what promised to be the most powerful shield is faith, your solid shield of defense against ridicule, doubt, fear. It progressively develops you into a masterpiece of the greater you. And finally, your greatest weapon is success. That's your most powerful revenge. It's the ultimate revenge against all personal failures. Well, when I was reading these powerful words, I came across some words that describe this young man who I'm about to interview. It says you have to patiently pursue a path of purpose. That is Chris Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. Making a well-educated choice and exacting the behavior of genius. Chris Thomas, welcome to the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour. How you doing today, bro?
I'm blessed. Thank you for having me, Mr. Malone.
Yes, you are. So let me tell you all about Chris Thomas and how we met and how things are just exploding with changing the lives of young men. I met this young man at the Men's Challenge in Prince George's County. Our organization has received numerous awards for our work with men and domestic violence. But we said, hey, we also need to have a place where we can just talk to men and young men and model for them and teach them, because leadership has to come by example. Fatherhood cannot be bought. It has to be taught. Well, I ran up on this young man and said, listen, I know who you are. I've seen the work that you're doing. I want to work with you. And so I tested him to see if he would be consistent and purposely involved in what he said. Because, you know, a man's word is all he has. But this man's word is gold. As it turns out, he elevated to the director of community engagement for the 100 Fathers. Then we had an opportunity. We were asked to speak at the 1,000 Fathers March in Annapolis. And I couldn't make it. I don't know if I was in the hospital. Something happened, and I couldn't make it. And, you know, I have a cadre of master trainers and men that work with us with the 100 Fathers and the 100 Responsible Fathers with the Greater D.C. National Action Network. But they said, well, who are you going to get to speak? I said, I'm going to ask this brother Chris Thomas to represent our organization. I see in him the leadership of a generation that needs to be pushed to the front. We sent him down there to Annapolis, ladies and gentlemen. He turned the joint out. I got so many calls about him, what he had to say. He took his daughter. He spoke about the importance not only of fatherhood, but of familyhood, of what we need to do as a people. And he changed the whole scope of what people thought while he was down there. And I knew that God had given me the right idea to empower this young man to put his word out there, because it needs to come from all levels. The 100 Fathers, we got the elders, we got the master trainers, and we have the youth. And we bring that message threefold when we come. So I am just honored and glad that Chris Thomas had the patience to wait for this opportunity to speak to you across the nation and around the world. Now, Chris, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what does fatherhood mean to you?
Thank you for that question. Fatherhood, it means everything. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my father and his foundation, and God rest my mother's soul. I feel that's how we keep our generations going. I feel that's how we care for our last name. And I believe with you being the best example, with leading by example, as a father, whether you have a son or daughter, they will take that on, and they will use that when they become parents for their children also.
I like that. You know, I've seen you. I've met your daughter, who's your sidekick. Mine is taking a hiatus, but she's one of the co-hosts for this show. She's going around speaking, doing her own thing, and I love it, because a father and a daughter have a special relationship. And I've seen you and your daughter and your sisters do a lot of things together, and I met your father. My next question for you is this. Tell me three things that you see that are important to being a father. How do you see it?
I say these a lot, the three A's, but I'm not going to change it. Everything has been very powerful. Number one is available. You need to be available for your kids or your kids or whoever you're mentoring to, because it's 24 hours in a day, and you don't know when they're actually going to need you the most, 7 days a week. Then active. You need to be active in their life. You know, that's not dealing with the game system. That's not dealing with watching the Cowboys and Redskins play. That's when your daughter tells you that she wants you to help her do her nails. You need to get down there and then do the nails with her. And then the third one is affirmation. You know, you need to be strong. You need to let them know that you're always there for them. You always have their back. You are going to root for them, and you're going to be their number one fan, because anytime something happens to you, you want them to also have your back as a parent. So you have to, again, lead by example and always let your kids know, no matter what they've done, that you are right there for them, and you're going to be there every step of the way, no matter what.
Great answers. Tell me about one of the greatest challenges that you have had as a father.
One of the greatest challenges has been that I just said it. It's only 24 hours in a day. Coffee is my best friend. And kids, they have a lot of energy. So even after you work at 9 to 5 and you come home and you say, give me 20 minutes, you know, you might fall asleep. And my daughter, love her to death, Christina Thomas, she wakes me up and she said, hey, Daddy, I already heated up your coffee. It's time to play still. And I'm like, uh-oh. So just to keep it short, you know, it's not enough time in the day. One of the biggest challenges is pretty much you're always trying to work so hard for your kids so that they don't ever have to work hard. And you really just want to teach them financial literacy at a young age so that they have generational wealth. And I just preach to my daughter all the time that, you know, Daddy works really hard, but it's not for me. It's not for the cars and the trips. It's to make sure that you live a better life than I lived.
That's great. That's good looking forward and great leading by example. You up in there. You making it happen. I want to tell people we had one of the most powerful programs in D.C. I see where the mayor just came out with like $15 million to do some things in the neighborhood, in the community. Chris is known as the top soldier. He's been to more places in Ward 7, Ward 8, in Prince George's County, working with different groups. He's more of a top soldier ambassador for our organization. You know, people used to tell me, they said, Frank, if you're going to be doing fatherhood, you can't be doing all the rest of this stuff. You just need to do one thing. But one thing does not define what a father is. We're more than one thing. We're about the family. We're about prevention. We're about education. We're about the returning citizens. We're about those that are incarcerated, the veterans. We're about trying to get some better legislation to help these fathers out. We're about visitation with our children. We're about making a better family and also making an example by ourselves to young men. Because if you want to be a man, you got to see a man, a good man. And so this is the work that Chris Thomas is doing all over the community. We just had Father's Day, and we not only had he was one of our Fathers of the Year in past years, but he supported us with the Father of the Year program. But then after that, another group said, well, we want to do Black Fathers Matter and do a motorcade throughout the city. Who can pick up the sign? They called on Chris, and he came through. He's one of those type of people that's involved in our community and that can see that leadership starts with service. And that's what we teach our young men over at Ballou High School. We had a program over there called the Ballou Brotherhood Program. 23 young men that we work with. And we stood them up. We said, how many of y'all are the head of household? And Chris, I think Pierpoint told me it was like 10 of them said they were the head of household. There was no daddy in their house. Mom needed them to stand in with the kids while she went out to work and to take care of things. Those are the young men we're talking about that need our leadership. And we've broken down the matrix of violence, and we know we have an answer for that. There ain't no one answer. But one of the answers that we teach is called RSM, Reactionary Masculinity Syndrome. And Chris helps me to break down the young men and try to figure out what's important. So the first thing we start with is, what is a man? That's the first thing you do. Because when I talked about a man's thought, well, what are you thinking? What is a man? And I know when we were at the school, we asked them that. Everybody had a different idea. You got to first define what manhood is. Isn't that true, Chris?
Yes, sir.
So we defined it, and we went over it with them. We debated. We put up on the board everything they had to say about it. And then we closed in on them and said, this is why we're successful. This is how we do it. And let me say this to the public. Here's the matrix that we use when working with young men. Love, connection, engagement, enlightenment brings empowerment. But if you don't love them, it ain't going to work. They're going to see right through you. Isn't that true, Chris?
I concur.
Don't be short with me. You know what we're doing in there. Because one of the things we did, we fed these guys. They would come into our classroom, and we had some of the best food. They were like, and you know they were hungry. And we would be serving them, serving their dinner. Chris was there. We had discombobulated Jones. We served them something to eat. We fed their bodies. We served them. Then we fed their minds. We educated them. What's important? What is a man supposed to think? And what is he supposed to do? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I saw some real changes in these young men that really, if we could have continued but for the COVID, we would have had a group of leaders in that school. And we haven't finished yet. We have not finished. I'm going to tell y'all a story. We had gotten some tickets to see the Greek Freak. What was his name? Giannis. And Giannis was playing the Wizards. We had 25 free tickets. Take these guys to the mayor's suite. Something happened. We miscalculated. School wasn't open. We couldn't get back to them. So we had to invite another group of young men. These guys that we were working with knew this game was going on. They showed up to the arena. They had a few dollars on them, but they presented themselves so well at the front door. They called us downstairs and said, do you know these guys? We said, yes. So these guys are in our brotherhood program about self-discipline, self-respect, understanding, patience, power. They loved them so much, they broke the rules pretty much and let these guys come in. They took their bags, put their bags up because you can't bring a bag in. That showed us that an example can go a long way. And these guys got in and got to see the game. Now, unfortunately, we almost won that game, but that's one that Bradley Beal couldn't pull off, but it was a good game, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I want to ask you a question about when we working with these young men, what do you think are some of the most important things we need to do when trying to direct and change the life of a young African-American male? How do you see it? What's important to you, Chris?
The number one thing that I see that we did up until COVID was consistency. When you get a new mentor, somebody, a new father figure, and they're feeding you the knowledge and feeding you the wisdom, you need it. You yearn for it. And when you yearn for it, that's what made them continually come back. The food was good, but they started to sit up straight. They started to be more respectful. They started to be more receptive. They started to ask questions, and then they even started to vent to us about some personal experiences. So that's one of the biggest things is to be there and keep coming back and let them know that you're here for them and you're not going nowhere. You're here and you're ready to help them in any way they need.
You know, I'm glad people get to listen to find out how does this thing work, because it works by consistency over time. You have to keep coming back. I remember when we did a program at Woodson High School, and when we first showed up, the guys said, "Who are y'all, 5-0? What y'all doing here?" After about 2 or 3 weeks, they couldn't wait for us to get back, because a young man needs to see a man to be a man. He needs to know how we love, how we talk, how we discipline, how our camaraderie works. He needs to know what is a man. A man is reasonable, responsible, and respectable. That's what we teach. That's who we are. But that wasn't in their understanding of what a man was. They got it from off the street. One guy said, "Well, you're a man when you can go to the club and come back home, give your mother a couple of dollars, and, you know, pay for some of your food." And we're saying, no, it's got to be deeper than that. You have to be able to be independent. You have to educate yourself to be able to be self-sufficient, so that if you do sire a child, you can support that child. That you're not a man because you can make a baby. You're a man because you can raise a baby. That's what the 100 Fathers Program has been putting out. And Chris Thomas has been one of our point leaders in making this happen. Chris, I got a list out of an article that was in the newspaper that the 100 Fathers put in there about the 10 most important things that a person needs to tell their son today. The first one is that you come from greatness, that a person is not defined by their environment. You might live in a ghetto, but you don't have to let the ghetto live in you. Can you speak on that, please?
I agree. You don't have to always amount of a product to your environment. It is always, sometimes they call it the oddball or the abnormal person, basically. But they're there. They're there because they're going to work, doing that 9-to-5, and they're taking care of their 1 or 2 or 3 kids. And sometimes you don't always gravitate to that person first, because you don't know, because they don't look the same way as you. But that education system is there for you. That job is there for you. The support system. And sometimes new organizations come into the community, like 100 Fathers. And you got to take that opportunity and say, hey, I want to be just like them. Like you said earlier, you know, once you start to see a man and see a father, then you can start to now understand what it's like to be a father, and then you start to be more like that person the more you're around them.
You know, I just saw an example of that today with my son, because my grandchildren came over here and they did something wrong, and I was telling him about it, and he said, "What? Wait till I get a chance to straighten them out." I said, "Ain't that something?" You know what I'm saying? Discipline. Set boundaries. Let them know when they're doing something wrong. Reward them when they're doing something right, but let them know when they're doing something wrong. The second thing I want to talk about is something also important that we work with the 100 Fathers. Respect and protect the black woman. There's no limit on how far we can go if we team up with our soulmates. What about that?
I think it needs to be a course in school now. your first love is the mom. You know, we just got to extend that love now to more of the women in the community and let them know, you know, like you got to treat everybody like grandma. You got to treat everybody like your mother. And we understand you only have that one mother, but when you start to respect that one woman with authority, you'll start to respect more of them. And then it'll be second nature. So I'm not sure where we get sidetracked to where it's okay to do something to this one girl because another guy did it and you want to follow and be a follower. But we need the leaders. We need the leaders. And the way we That's make it. Those leaders is because of who we are. And then they see how we treat the women. We hold the door for the school teachers. We hold the door for the bus drivers. And then the young men are like, wow, he held the door for the bus driver. He held the door for the lady who brought the Papa John's pizza for us to eat today. Because if she didn't do it, y'all wouldn't have a pizza. So we always try to show them, you know, it's okay to respect more than just your mother or just your grandmother. People try to put a cap on it. You know, why you respect one woman over another woman. Why not do it to all? Because when you start to respect yourself more, you'll start to respect other people more. When it's second nature, you don't even have to think about it no more.
That's it. And that's what we have to teach. Because according to the book I read, a house divided amongst itself will not stand. We can't have the women leading over here and the men leading over. We got to learn to lead together. And we're going to have to be the ones that set that example. That's why we work with so many groups that understand that. Here's another one. Just being male doesn't make you a man. What'd you think about that one? Just being male doesn't make you a man.
What I say to that is, that's when people use that word grown. I'm a grown man. What is grown? If you look at the adjective of a grown, that doesn't mean educated. That doesn't mean mature. That doesn't mean respectful. All that means is exactly what you said. You have some age behind who you are as a person. But men do need to start to understand what it really does mean to be a man. And it starts with taking care of yourself mentally. Because when you start to respect yourself firsthand, self-worth, self-respect is the best work, then you can easily reciprocate it. And your energy, your positive energy, will automatically dwell down on everybody else that comes across you. And that's one thing I try to do. Just smile. Just try to do the little things. Little things will be contagious, and then the next brother smiles. The next brother respects, you know, the next woman. Right. The next brother takes care of his kids, you know, because now they say, oh, it's cool to take care of your kids. It's cool to go to the park with them. It's cool to spend the whole day with them and tell your boys, I'll see you tomorrow or something like that. But once they see it, hopefully it turns contagious, and that's all we want, you know, is a reciprocal domino effect.
We're seeing that. We're seeing that in the community. And, you know, when it's not coming on TV, it's not something that's going to be in the newspaper, but we as brothers, you know, they did a study in 2016 on fathers around the world. They said the black father was by far one of the best fathers, not because he had the most money, not because of any of that, but because his love for his children manifested itself in his wanting to be with his family and loving his family. That is a powerful point, but it got missed in the mainstream media. But I'm telling you, the CDC, the Pew Report, the APA, it's there. It's there. It's almost as if somebody's trying to destroy our image on purpose. But how you get past that is the fourth thing I wanted to talk to you about, and that was that knowledge is power, that we have to develop a global perspective. We have to act locally. We have to use discernment. We have to make the power of knowledge a part of our being. If you don't have it, you can't give it. You can't teach what you don't know if you haven't taken time out to learn it. Like I said before, it says in the book, study to show thyself approved. You have to learn more, to teach more. And, you know, before I ask you to say anything about this, I want to make it clear. The fatherhood movement is about the children. When a father has children, he bears a total responsibility, not only to those children, but to the world, to make sure that they're protected, that they're loved, and that they're provided for in a way that they know that love is coming from dad. And respect that mother so that you can get back the next time if you're not there. You know, we also have to understand that racism isn't going anywhere. You know, there's a lot of people talking about what needs to be done. You know, Chris, I want to say that Black Wall Street was only an example of 116 other cities that suffered the same fate. Lord, have mercy. We got to understand who we are and whose we are. And we got to know the truth. Because some of these same people were them people that call themselves Christians. And so we had to define who are the people of God and the people of the way. Now, before I get back to you, I'm going to take a break, pay some bills, come back on the other side, and we're going to take a look at where we need to go as the fatherhood leaders for this nation and the world to change the paradigm for our children and families. This is the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour coming to you on NEA2X Radio, the voice of the people.
All right, everyone. It is now 6:33 p.m. on the east side of the United States of America. And we are sponsored at this moment.
Marion, I'm on the radio.
We are sponsored at this time by Sheila Brown. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to VLB Productions 100 Fathers Empowerment Hour. And so Sheila Brown says, do you love soul food but want a better way to eat and experience those amazing recipes passed down through the generations? You might not know it, but our ancestors made the best out of what little they had so that we can live life more abundantly. Divinity Soup is an ancestor-inspired recipe starring collard greens, onions, garlic, kale, and our special spice, star anise. Make this dish especially healthy and delicious. Sheila Brown created this recipe after childhood memories of her grandmother in the kitchen lovingly cooking pots of collard greens surfaced in her mind, making her realize that being vegan wasn't enough if it meant lacking soul. Grab a free copy of her book now to get access to this wonderful vegan collard green recipe. You'll also learn about the importance of making divinely prepared meals, the significance behind cooking for your family, and why you should not ever cook while angry. Find her information and more at SheilaBrownSpeaks.com. We'll be taking another break around 6:39, and now back to Frank Malone, 100 Fathers, who's the head of 100 Fathers Incorporated. Frank, it's on you.
Thank you so much, Sister Nietzsche. We're here at the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour interviewing a young, dynamic leader. We call him the top soldier because he's just that. He's soldiering in leadership, soldiering in with other organizations. I was with Chris Thomas at the Mount Zion Baptist Church Cemetery. What? What were we doing there? We were cleaning the oldest cemetery to black people in the District of Columbia. This church started in 1816. And people were walking their dogs over there as if it was a trash dump. And the 100 Fathers and some other groups got together to clean it up. And on Juneteenth, to show respect for our ancestors. When you start respecting your ancestors, it's a way that's showing that you respect yourself and who you are. And so I appreciate the top soldier taking time out from whatever he had to do. And he's in those pictures helping us to clean it up and to make it look like it's supposed to look for our people. So I appreciate that, Chris. You get around. That's why we call you the top soldier. You're also in Ward 7 and 8, working with other groups, trying to promote nonviolence and peace and jobs and safe and sane communities. Chris is also part of a group called our Safe Passage, Man the Block, where we have gone out on the streets to make sure that our children have a safe passage from home to school and from school to home. I want you to talk about that program for a minute, Chris. Tell people what we're doing with that, please. Dr. Marco Clark.
Yes, sir. Safe Passage, man. It was first adopted in Chicago. It went to New York. Now it's in D.C. It's one of the best programs with dealing with a lot of the things, the disparities and the issues that a lot of these young youth face. Unfortunately, it's trying to always help combat human trafficking and also a lot of violence, a lot of the drug use. Once I heard about the program, I was immediately involved with it because of Mr. Frank Malone, because of Mr. Dr. Marco Clark. It was a great, great, great experience. Always walking with the kids, walking with Miss White, Miss Johnson, the principals at my daughter's school. It's just incredible. You get to get a better relationship with the kids. You start to relate to them. You start to help them, assist them with issues, problems. You're always there for them like a big brother. They appreciated you a lot more. It's one of the best programs that I've seen before. Ever induced, introduced into the school system, and it works so well that, again, Mayor Bowser has adopted now $15 million for the next 3 years because the violence and so many issues were deterred and decreased with just having some of these Muslim brothers, myself, and Mr. Malone, and our counselor elders just around and physically active there to help those kids get home safely from school.
Thank you for your work. We appreciate you because we depend on you for so many things as we try to bring men and fathers to understand, hey, if your child's in school, you need to be at that school. Matter of fact, in 2009, it was the 100 Fathers that went to John Burrow School with Councilmember Harry Thomas, and we had almost 250 fathers come to the school because we called them to school. We had a group called the DC Dads Care, and we called the fathers out because the schools had not been letting the fathers, they didn't invite the fathers to come out. I remember one day I went to the school and did a workshop, and I said, how many of you kids love your father? And those kids raised their hand. Ooh, I want to say something. It was fantastic. And they realized, hey, we got to get these fathers up in here. The same thing happens in Prince George's County with Curtis Valentine, who this year was the Education Father of the Year for the D.C. Fatherhood Coalition. This man had 300 fathers on the stage that had been at about, I don't know how many schools in Prince George's County, but each one of these fathers got an award for being in the school.
Frank, we got to ask you to hold your point right now. We have a commercial break to go to here on NEA2X Radio, the voice of the people, and we'll be right back to the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour.
Good evening. My name is Carlton Thompson, and I'm representing Sunshine Youth Division. We study Black history 24/7 permanently, and now, here is news you can use. Surya Bonaly is a retired French competitive figure skater who has competed in the Olympics and won several medals. She is a three-time world silver medalist, a five-time European champion, and a nine-time French national champion. In 1994, at the age of 20, Surya Bonaly performed an illegal move in an Olympic competition knowing that she would be penalized for it. The illegal move she performed was a backwards somersault, and she landed this somersault on one foot. She is the first person in the world who is known to be able to complete this difficult move, which takes skill, courage, and practice. She then went on performing this move in other competitions, despite the fact she was being penalized for it. Surya Bonaly began skating in 1985 and retired in 1998.
All right, we're going back to Frank Malone at this time. And to find all programs on BLB Productions, be sure to visit blackonblackunity.com. That's blackonblackunity.com, www.blackonblackunity.com. And now back to your radio host, Frank Malone.
That was so powerful to hear about that Black history. And I have seen that sister perform before. And it's just unbelievable about the Black excellence that we don't even get. Thank you so much, NEA2X, for bringing us that Black history. A backwards backflip on a single skate. Unbelievable. But it's believable because there's so much that we as a people have not heard because of the secret. And it's time now for the truth to come out. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you back to the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour on NEA2X Radio, the voice of the people. And you can join us by going to www.blackonblackunity.com. Click radio show and go to our show and listen to all our shows. We've done so many on so many different subjects, including Black wealth. Listen to our show on Black Wealth. Furthermore, you can reach us on www.100fathers.org. On our website, it comes directly to the radio station. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know I'm speaking with the top soldier here in D.C., one of the future leaders of the 100 Fathers, who's also well-known, well-respected, loved by the youth and by the families, Mr. Chris T. Top Soldier Thomas. And we've been discussing some issues with regards to how do we reach our young men on the streets? How do we stop the violent trends that are going on in our neighborhoods? You know, I touched on reactionary masculinity syndrome. I want you to know we've been to the United States Congress and presented on reactionary masculinity syndrome. Mr. Thomas has been with us. What is it? It's a taking a look at manhood, respect, power, fatherhood, and racial oppression. Those five factors have everything to do with the violent trends that are going in our neighborhood today. But everybody wants to talk about the problem, but nobody wants to talk about preventing the problem or the root of the problem. The root of the problem, we're saying, is based primarily in a lack of fatherhood leadership, a lack of fathers and men having the influence we need to change the paradigm for these young men who are angry, who are violent, but can be healed. Hurt people, but healed people can heal people. That's the business, the fatherhood movement, to heal the heart of the young man who needs it and give him direction, give him purpose, give him what he needs to be successful. And so we're advocating for the healing of our community by bringing the fathers to the forefront. There's some other organizations that have come about that don't even talk about fatherhood. It's as if we don't exist. But we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay. We're going to work with our families, and we're going to make a difference in this community and communities across the nation. I have today Mr. Chris Thomas, one of those young fathers who is making a difference in our community right now. Now, Chris, I'm going to ask you a really hard question. What do you think the mayor needs to do in order to combat and to diminish the shooting, the violence that is occurring in our neighborhoods right now? What do you think we need?
Number one thing we need is a much larger grand scale of what it used to be, the Big Brother program. We need a lot more male mentors. Like you said earlier, the female will follow when the male leads the right way. But when the male is leading another male into destruction and coming home and leading a woman to destruction and leads the kids to destruction, and they only see violence. When all you see is violence, is all you're going to do is violence, unfortunately. But a big thing that we need is we need a lot more mentors in these communities. We need positive mentors, not just somebody that's from the area that's telling them it's okay to sell drugs, it's okay to do drugs. No, you need people that are saying, look, come on and go to church with us on Sunday. Come on and let's go get you back visitation with your child. You know, come on, let's go get you a job. Let's get your record cleaned up and stuff. You know, we need to get to the youth at a young age because we don't reach them at 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, like we have these brotherhood programs and fatherhood programs in school. They end up going into these other realms. And when you don't reach them at a young age, it's very hard to unlearn and relearn what you have. All you've seen is negativity. So we just need more positive people around them more often. And when they start to see how the, like we said earlier, the work and how we do things and how we respect each other, me and Mr. Malone, the Council of Elders, the way we respect all the women that come and help and assist us, the queens, then they'll start to be more receptive and say, hey, they're living a good life. Hey, they're successful, and they're doing it the right way. So why can't we do it also?
And they can do it, and that is, and we're talking about programs in the community that have no reject policies. We're talking about civic engagement, giving back. Like when we took those young men from Baloo and got turkeys from Channel 4 and gave those turkeys out back to their own community. We're talking about crisis safety planning. We're talking about neighbors helping neighbors. We're talking about the mutual support that's necessary for the family. Cultural competency. You need some fathers and men to teach parenting skills. We need access to work. We need individualized services. We need mental health access. These are the things that we're working to fund. And I hope somebody hears what we know has to happen as a sustainable improvement in our community. The young people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. We had a program called the Dads Program. We worked with UCEP, Gerard Mustafa. And we went over in Ward 7 and went out and recruited those fathers. And they came out and we were able to work with them and make a difference in the lives of their families and their children. You have to touch people where they need to be touched. You have to heal people with what they need to be healed. But you have to be there. You have to be, like you said, Chris, you have to be available. You have to be persistent, and you have to be consistent. Isn't that the plan?
Yes, sir.
I'm just reading off some of the things that we know that works, that the mayor needs to fund right now. If they got money to fund the program, fatherhood needs to be one of those main programs. We're talking about doing a boot camp to train men with certification as fatherhood facilitators. Here's why. Because you don't just become a man. Becoming a man is a rite of passage that goes all the way back to Africa, to when we came up out of Africa. There was a point in time when a young man became a man and the elders of the community recognized him and sent him to that level. Our young men need a rite of passage given from the elders of the community that they might understand and live out the reality of being a man of responsible actions, of affectionate giving to his family, affirming his family, and being present with his family. The most important word to a child that a father can give is called T-I-M-E, time, presence. You can't father from miles away or over the phone. They got to see you to be you. Chris Thomas, it's just been an extreme pleasure to have someone like you in our organization, someone that's highly respected. You're very articulate, but your heart shows by your actions who you are. And that's why I know that we're going far. We're going to take our message around the nation after we get it set up here in D.C. We got to go. We've been called to Denver, Colorado, Los Angeles, California. They need the fathers. But we're going to make D.C. understand they need the fathers too. And we're not going anywhere till we can train these young men to be responsible and loving fathers and protect their community and the women in this community. That is a safe and sane community. That's what the fatherhood movement is all about. Do you have any closing words for me, Chris?
Only I thank Ms. Nia 2X, and I thank you, Mr. Malone, and all of my ancestors that came before me to even allow me to be on this platform and speak on fatherhood. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you for having the mind to want to be a part of this. Thank you for showing the leadership. And, you know, they say if you come halfway, God will take you the rest of the way. Keep God first, and you'll be first. There's nothing we have to fear that a man has in this world. God has the power to do all things, to make all things happen. We just trust in him. I'm going to have another show where I talk about who the Black Messiah really was. Because once people get on to that and figure out it was a brother, man, they really going to want to change. They're going to say, you mean it wasn't that European I see? No, it was not. The truth will set you free. But even then, you got to live by the word, talk by the word, and walk by the word in order for the power to be there for you. This is Brother Frank Malone kicking it with the top soldier out of D.C., and we're looking forward to some great things happening to really change the paradigm for our fathers and children in D.C. Father, it's time for you to step up, show up, speak up, and get up and be with the philosophy that says, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm going to leave you with that one. Who is thy neighbor but the person you're looking at right now that's close to you? Come on now. Let's do this together. This is Frank Malone on Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people, coming to you on the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour. You can reach us on www.blackonblackunity.com. You can go to our website, www.100fathers.org. Peace and blessings. This is Frank Malone, signing off.